806 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings Friday style. We pretty much have, we've hit our high because it was like 63 when we came in the studio. It's 57 now. Dr. Bill says it's going to hold in the upper 50s to around 60 until this afternoon when the temperatures will start to drop. We'll be in the 40s tomorrow morning. And then by Wednesday morning, the 20s. Ooh. A secondary front comes in. Get more from Dr. Bill coming up in just a little bit. Also, a reminder, on Saturdays on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, we get Dr. Bill's marine forecast as well, so you can always check that out if you're heading out to put the boat in the water, heading out to go down the road later this month, go duck hunting, something like that, looking for the marine forecast. We've got that during FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, so make sure to make a note. It is a Friday, and it's week, I get confused. It's 11?
Week 11 of the college football season.
Unreal.
And,
it's a football Friday.
It is a football Friday, and that's football weather that you're just talking
about. Yes, it is. I like that.
With the temperature dropping so quickly.
Oh, it'll be nice in T-Town tomorrow.
It will be. And also tonight got round one of the AHSAA football playoffs, and a lot of our local teams either heading on the road or welcoming some teams in for round one of the playoffs tonight. So good luck to all of those teams. But yeah, we got a full day of college football tomorrow. Not only the game of the century with now number 3 ranked Alabama hosting number 2 ranked LSU. That's according to the college football playoff rankings that were released this week. Of course, those two teams are undefeated, both vying for a shot in the college football playoff. But you also have two more undefeated teams. These two from the Big 12, Penn State and Minnesota getting together, and it is the Big 10, not the Big 12.
Yes.
But both of them undefeated, so huge games tomorrow.
Yeah, but Penn State, if the CFP is correct, that Penn State's the
4. They got them at number 4.
Yeah, I mean,
they're huge, yeah. And Minnesota 17th, so they haven't really played anyone. But that's not the game that everyone is talking about for tomorrow. Of course, that game in Tuscaloosa. Have you heard who all is going to be at that game, by the way?
I've heard rumors.
The president showing up to the game tomorrow. They're opening the gates 3 hours early, encouraging fans to get there early so that they're not held up at the gate while they get in.
That's going to mess up business over Gillette's big time.
I think they'll make up for it with just the quantity of people around town.
Yeah. Oh,
just to be around the game. And you also have, all kinds of other people. College Game Day and SEC Nation, I believe, will be there in Tuscaloosa for the game tomorrow. So lots for it to live up to. You might remember last year, the Tide pretty much embarrassed LSU 29-0 in Baton Rouge.
Oh, that's delicious.
The defense for Alabama was so good last year that the Tigers had to punt on their first 9 possessions of the game. And it's actually been since the last time these two teams were ranked 1 and 2 that LSU has won. The year before that was when LSU won a game. The last time these two teams played 1 and 2 was when that's right. LSU did win the game in 2011 in overtime. It wasn't Alabama that won that one. 9-6, the first game of the century, as it were. Since then, Alabama's gone 8-0 playing against LSU. But Tigers fans feel like they've got a really good chance to turn this around tomorrow. Both these offenses, a far cry from where they were back in 2011 when that game ended 9-6. You've got LSU with a Heisman frontrunner in Joe Burrow. They're averaging 46.8 points per game, and Bama actually averaging more points per game than LSU at 48.6 and 7.7 yards per play for that Alabama offense, which, you ask anyone, the Alabama offense is better than the Alabama defense, and the LSU offense is better than the LSU defense. When was the last time anyone said that about either of those two schools?
Yeah, let alone that SEC ball about Alabama and LSU.
Yeah, just in general.
So, I mean, okay, so help me get out of my my head here as an Alabama fan.
Okay.
And look at this logically, look at this just from the numbers. So you've got weak defenses, strong offenses.
And they're not even weak defenses.
They're not as strong as the offense.
That's correct. They're both of the defenses rank in the top 20.
Right, right.
So they're still really good. But compared to the offenses, which are pretty much 1 and 2 in the nation, or at least top 5 in the nation, it's different than any other game we've seen LSU and Alabama play before. And even this LSU offense compared to last year's LSU offense is different. You've got this up-tempo offense now. Joe Burrow has just been amazing. You could pretty much, and I know a lot of Alabama fans will say their three top receivers are much better than LSU's top 3 receivers, but if you compare the stats, they're almost identical, the stats that the top three receivers for both these teams have put up. And this game is so big tomorrow, not just because of the implications in the rankings and who makes the college football playoff. It's SEC West, pretty much a de facto title game for that side of the conference. On top of that, you've got two of the top Heisman contenders in the nation. So whoever wins this game tomorrow, unless they put up horrible numbers and win because of a run game and defense, they're likely to be the Heisman contender or Heisman leader coming out of this game. And on top of that, both of these quarterbacks are now first-round draft picks going into 2020, the NFL draft. Whoever wins this game tomorrow will probably take another leap in a lot of notebooks from scouts from around the NFL.
But, I mean, look at this, the Tua factor here. First of all, I'm just blown away that you can have the kind of surgery I've seen, that, you know, the tightrope thing, what they do, and then you're back on the practice field and you're back in a game like this. It seems wild to me that, but I guess younger kids can heal faster or something like that.
And, you know, last year he had more time to recover because that surgery on his left ankle, which is his planting ankle, since he's a lefty quarterback, you know, he's got a drive from that foot. Last year he had more time to recover since it happened at the end of the year. This time he only had about 3 weeks to recover from that ankle sprain that he had against Tennessee. The good news is this is on his right ankle. It still might affect his mobility.
If he's going to try to go left to right.
Such a big part of the Alabama offense is not necessarily Tua running the ball. Of course, his scrambling ability in the backfield
is huge.
I'm talking about being able to keep plays alive. But just the threat of him scrambling with those run-pass options that they run is a huge deal. It's a huge part of their offense, and it's something that they lose a lot of when Mac Jones comes in at quarterback. So we'll see pretty early tomorrow how mobile Tua is. I know I saw on Twitter that ESPN ran video from earlier this week in practice, and Nick Saban said he's not going to let him play until Tua can outrun Nick Saban on the practice field. And he said something like, "You're not there yet." Well, hopefully for Alabama fans, at some point this week, Tua was able to beat the head coach in a race.
Oh, wow. And looking at our college pick 'em, group for FM Talk 106.5 and how tight they have. They have Alabama with a slight advantage in the picks so far, but this is pretty. I mean, it's a, how many points did Vegas do?
It opened as 7 points for Alabama. It's now down to 6 points. But Bama, a 6-point favorite,
is almost like a pick 'em.
Not quite. It's a pretty big number for two teams that are ranked this highly, especially with LSU having faced and won 3 top 25 games already. LSU's schedule has been more difficult than Alabama's. The only ranked team Alabama has had to beat so far this year is Texas A&M, and that's before Texas A&M really kind of took a dive in the rankings. But that doesn't mean that Alabama's a worse team just because they've played a lesser schedule, and we talk about it pretty much every week. Usually when you look at a number that the odds makers put up there and you're like, why would they? 6 points, that's a lot between these two teams. They usually know something that the rest of us, they're pretty good with those numbers.
Is it, I mean, we don't know what it's in their minds, but is it 6 with Tua?
Or
is
it 6? Yeah,
if it's Mac Jones,
if it turns out that Mac Jones is going to be the quarterback, you'll see this line plummet. And LSU could probably be the favorite and will if
just,
Mac Jones.
Just based on who's at the QB.
I think so. I think it would probably go down to about a pick 'em if Mac Jones came in at quarterback, maybe with LSU favored. So, I mean, all kinds of implications for this game tomorrow. The loser could potentially still make it into the college football playoff rankings at the end of the year.
But do a bunch of people have to lose?
Not even necessarily. I mean, you would need probably a little bit of help from some of these other teams from around the nation. Okay. But with Oklahoma already having one loss, with some of these other teams, I mean, you look at the Big Ten, only one team is likely to come out of there, either Ohio State, Penn State, or Minnesota, if they're able to go on some sort of run. Big 12 maybe won't get someone in there. And then you think the Pac-12, Oregon and Utah are the leaders there, and they've both already suffered losses too. So if it comes down to putting in a one-loss LSU or a one-loss Bama against a one-loss Oregon or a one-loss Oklahoma, I think you know probably the decision that playoff committee would make.
All right, so that is why it is the game of the century tomorrow.
That's right. Huge implications for tomorrow's game. And run through just quickly a couple of these other games we got tomorrow. You have Missouri playing at number 6 ranked Georgia. That's a 6 p.m. kickoff. Georgia favored by 16.5.
Ooh.
And the story with this Missouri team, they look good when they're playing at home, but they are awful on the road. They haven't won a road game yet even losing to Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kentucky.
Yep.
Over these last few weeks. They gave up 6.4 yards per play against Kentucky that had a wide receiver at quarterback. This Georgia team is going to be able to just run the ball all over Missouri tomorrow with DeAndre Swift. So I'm looking for Georgia to win that game pretty handily. They're 16.5-point favorites. You also have 10th-ranked Florida hosting Vanderbilt tomorrow. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff. The Gators favored by 26.5 points. Vanderbilt, one of the worst two teams in all of the SEC, and now they are down to their third-string quarterback against a pretty angry Florida team trying to work their way back to the top of the rankings.
Pretty soon they're getting people out of the stands.
Yeah, they'll be pulling out some frat guys to come play quarterback for them. So Florida, 26.5 points is a lot, but I think they probably even cover that tomorrow against Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Arkansas, they're on a 17-game SEC losing streak.
That's right.
Chad Morris could be on his way out. Good thing for them. They're hosting Western Kentucky tomorrow. Well, maybe not a good thing, because the Hilltoppers actually aren't bad at offense.
Yeah.
And they've got a former Arkansas quarterback actually starting for them. Ty Story was their starter at Arkansas last year. He's the Hilltoppers starter now. So kind of a revenge game here. An interesting storyline. Jerry Jones' grandson, John Stephen Jones, going to get his first start at quarterback for the Arkansas Razorbacks. But if they lose to Western Kentucky tomorrow, Chad Morris might just get his
He might not see the end of the year.
Yeah, he might be out after tomorrow's game. Tennessee plays at Kentucky. Kentucky, they might get their starter back, but Lynn Bowden's been the converted wide receiver playing at quarterback for them. Tennessee has done a lot better since losing those first two games of the year. Their rush defense is really good, and I think Tennessee can pull this win off in Kentucky tomorrow. Both need this for bowl eligibility, though. And one last game to get to here, Appalachian State playing at South Carolina. The Gamecocks, even with that big win, that big upset win over Georgia, they've had a rough go of it this year. I think they've got 4 wins so far on their schedule. And Appalachian State is the best or one of the best teams in the Sun Belt Conference. South Carolina, only 6-point favorites over Appalachian State.
Wow.
With this game being played in South Carolina. I actually think Will Muschamp will be able to pull the team together and use that pretty strong rush defense they have against Appalachian State. I think the Gamecocks will be able to win that game.
Isn't it strange to be talking about the SEC team and say, well, they got to do this and this and this to beat Appalachian
State. To beat Appalachian State, of all teams.
Wow. All right. So a very busy Saturday on the way. And like you pointed out, too, high school ball going on tonight.
Yeah, all kinds of games tonight. At least 4 teams from our area in each classification start round one tonight, so good luck to all of those teams. I'd mention them, but it would take the rest of the hour because we've got so many teams around here playing tonight.
All right, make sure to go if you're one of our contestants in our Pick'em, College Pick'em, the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em. Don't do like I did last weekend and forget to submit your picks and get knocked way down in the rankings. Go ahead and get those votes. It got me out of the top thing. Missing a week is a bad thing, so make sure to get those picks done, and we'll start tallying those up as we get closer and closer to the end. You know, there are prizes, fantastic prizes available in this, so good luck. All right, coming back, it is the question. It's our online opinion poll question. It's what we're talking about here in the state of Alabama.
Are you running for Senate?
Yes, we'll file our papers tomorrow.
So you are running for the seat that you held. You were, I think, after the coach of the Alabama football team, the most popular person in the state when you left.
Yeah, it's Jeff Sessions. The dominoes are starting to fall. We'll talk about it when we get back. Hey, thank you, Kane. 824 FM Talk 106.5. My goodness, we're busy. In a good way. Good way. Got the AL1 Republican primary debate coming up in less than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
In
13 days.
Yeah, J.C. Davis Auditorium. Be up there, and you'll be able to hear it here at FM Talk 106.5. Also, watch it on WKRG. And we'd love you to come out in person as well and be there, be part of it. I'll keep reminding you of it. Don't worry about that. Also, coming up in the same day, we're going to be drawing our winner for the Go Play Outside sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening. Also, this weekend, our Fisher House specials running tomorrow from 10 to noon, on Sunday from 6 to 9, and again on Veterans Day from noon to 2. And on Veterans Day, this show, Mobile Mornings, will be on the road live from the Civic Center parking lot for the Veterans Day Parade Assembly as they get ready to go. And we've got the show going. We also have Vietnam-era veterans that are going to be on the show with us. That is the focus of this year's Veterans Day for the Bay Area Veterans Day Council, Vietnam-era veterans. So this is awesome. About time to show more respect for these folks. And they're going to join us, some of them, on the show on Monday. Also, if you'll stop by and see us, we're going to be feeding you our friends at OMG 1703. Now, you check them out online, omg1703.com, for your Mardi Gras apparel needs.
They're already got a cool shirt.
Yeah, it is. I got one, the long sleeve. I dig it. You're going to be able to come out and check out the shirts, but also eat some donuts. They're bringing donuts out. And then Patty and the crew at Allegri Market have hooked us up with Baldwin County Satsumas and some bananas for those of you on the healthy track on your breakfast as well. So make sure to stop by and say hello, grab some FM Talk 106.5 goodies, and get some breakfast while you're there.
Fisher House, again, is that 6 to 9 p.m. on Sunday?
Yes, okay, I'm sorry. P.M. Okay, yeah, gotcha. I did not specify. You're right. So it is 10 a.m. to noon tomorrow, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday, and noon to 2 on Monday, Veterans Day. So all that stuff's happening. We are real busy. And speaking of things happening, later on this morning, tickets go on sale for Journey with special guest The Pretenders at the Wharf Amphitheater. That show, August 26th. Tickets go on sale today. And we'll take caller number...
Let's go with six.
Okay. Caller number six at 343-0106. Win them before you can buy them. Tickets, caller number six at 343-0106. Tickets for Journey with special guests, The Pretenders at the Wharf Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale this morning at 10, Ticketmaster.com and the Wharf box office. All right. So it was last night on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox News that had Jeff Sessions making the announcement that he's in for this Senate race.
Tucker, good to be with you.
Are you running for Senate?
Yes, we'll file our papers tomorrow.
So you are running for the seat that you held. You were, I think, after the coach of the Alabama football team, the most popular person in the state when you left. Do you regret that you left in the first place?
Well, I had a great tenure at the Department of Justice in so many different ways, and I don't ever worry about regretting things like that. We were able to serve, be able to push the Trump agenda and do in an honorable way, and it was actually a great experience. I spent 15 years in the department, so I don't regret that, and it was an honor to serve, and I am, it's not my seat in the Senate, but I believe I have something to give. I have some convictions that I think need to be pushed. We need to get some Republicans moving. They haven't been pushing hard enough to advance the Trump agenda. And so that's what I look forward to doing. And if I think I can contribute to that.
All right. So how hard is this going to be for Jeff Sessions? How much of a climb, or is it even attainable? In our unscientific, now there'll be scientific polling coming out. We point out that our polling is unscientific, but it's quite often pretty darn accurate. When you vote online on the front page of fmtalk1065.com in the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, our question we put up yesterday, and we're going to leave it up: would you consider voting for Jeff Sessions in the 2020 Senate Republican primary? Right now, 37% say yes, 50% say no.
Wow.
13% are undecided. You know, there, I mean, you know that there had to be a lot of internal polling that was looked at by anybody in a Jeff Sessions camp before he made the announcement. But the polling has been, you know, without Jeff Sessions in it, it's been a two-dog race. You know, and I know I'll probably have John Merrill texting me here shortly about this, and John Merrill, one of the candidates, but it has been a Bradley Byrne, Tommy Tuberville race that's been going on. What happens when you bring a Jeff Sessions into this mix? How disruptive, and who gets disrupted more? That's what we're going to be seeing. But right now, 37% of y'all say, yeah, you'd vote for Jeff Sessions for Senate. 50% say no. 13% are undecided. I can tell you this, it's going to be the makings of a runoff are here in a big, big way. All right, we'll take your calls on this at 343-0106, 343-0106. A lot of people texting in say, no, they wouldn't. A lot of people texting in say, absolutely, they would vote for Jeff Sessions. But that's a question that not only we in Alabama are looking at, but I know they're looking at in the White House. I know they're looking at in the halls of Congress right now. This is a national story that's focused right here in Alabama. And, of course, we'll have the next part of that happen on Saturday, tomorrow, when the president shows up in Tuscaloosa for the Game of the Century. Will he have any commentary?
Yeah, and according to Newsweek, he will have some commentary sooner or later. Yesterday, before the announcement made, Newsweek reports, President Donald Trump has privately warned Jeff Sessions that he will publicly attack him if the former attorney general chooses to run for Senate in Alabama. And as we just noted, he is now officially running. So how long will the president wait before that attack begins?
All right. We'll talk about that with you, and congratulations.
Katie out of Saraland. Heading to see Journey.
Good deal. We'll be right back.
837 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Congratulations. Made it to the end of the week. It's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I am doing great. Got the Game of the Century in Tuscaloosa tomorrow. All kinds of football on the screen, so I'm a happy guy. I also am happy to see just the huge selection of new and pre-owned vehicles you have out there on the lot. Tell us about some of the great deals you got going on.
Well, the biggest thing, Dalton, I'm going to be lucky and blessed to be heading up to Tuscaloosa in a little bit for that little game that nobody's talking about. But, you know, it's Friday, and the coolest thing we have happening, buddy, is we have, speaking of Friday, Black Friday deals already, which a lot of dealerships don't. And if people would just go to our website, man, and you might as well get a brand new SUV from a comp before you head to Tuscaloosa. And, man, we've got the biggest discount we've ever given on Yukons, I think, since we've been doing this, since about 1955. I mean, it's almost $13,000 off a Yukon. We have, you know, Dalton, the Buick Enclave is a 7-passenger, and over 13,000 or almost 13,000 off that. And you can also get 0% interest on those things. So be a great time to come by the dealership today or call us and grab a brand new SUV, head to Tuscaloosa, watch a little football game.
Hey, man, sounds like a plan to me. Have a good one, Mitch.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. Yeah, we'll grab these phone calls. We've got a bunch of texts as well, plus our friend Sally Erickson is going to join us in just a little bit. Dalton, we've had several texts and questions. We've had it over time about this seniority question for Jeff Sessions. The way we understand this, y'all, that if Jeff Sessions were elected, he returns to the Senate, he retains his banked seniority, but only for people that were elected after his freshman year class.
Right. So anyone elected after 1996, Sessions would retain that seniority over them. But for anyone elected in that same class that Sessions was first elected, and anyone obviously
before
him, they would retain seniority over Sessions.
Right. So if he returned, somebody who, I think he came in 96?
Yeah, 96.
Okay, so he came in 96. So anybody else, Senator, from that 96 year has seniority over Jeff Sessions.
That's correct.
But
that's
still, it's still, I mean, makes a difference here to have banked that kind of seniority.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know the numbers offhand, but there would probably be more people that have been elected since 96 than people that have been elected before 96,
Look at the top five. The top five senators in seniority. Patrick Leahy started in 75.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so he's number one seniority. Grassley, been there since 1981. Mitch McConnell, since 85. Our own Richard Shelby since 87, and Dianne Feinstein since 92.
Okay, so he's probably top 10, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to go too far down the list, and you start getting into the 90s, and you have that class. So that's just to answer that question. Also, we asked the question, our online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Would you consider voting for Jeff Sessions in the 2020 Senate Republican primary? And I think this is, while this is an unscientific poll, this is kind of what people are trying to gauge out there. 37% of y'all say yes, 51% say no, and 12% are still undecided. Let's go to the phones, and is it Alyssa or Alicia in Flemington? Who's up first? Is it Alicia?
Alicia.
Hey, Alicia.
okay. I just can't see you putting Sessions back. I think he betrayed us as a country and as a state, and I think he would do us great harm.
How do you see, when you say he betrayed us, how did he betray us?
Because I really feel, as so many people in the country, he should not have stepped down from anything when he was Attorney General. You know, he was acting like he was going to be the bulldog and take care of some situations that were there that were real. And he just stepped away, and it was like, wow, it just blowed everybody's mind.
There we go.
You know, we were counting on him. We were wanting to see things happen, and it was like nothing. And now we're still waiting on things to happen, and it's just a big bump under the rug like everything else.
All right, Alicia thinks, you know, that's one of the, and you heard Sessions address this, and this is the question about the recusal, right? This is what drives all of this. And he has said it in the past. He said it again last night on Tucker Carlson. It's about, you know, the way the law was. He mm-hmm. felt that the law, and, you know, if there's anything you can say that's consistent, you know, a following of the rule of law is what Jeff Sessions did.
Yeah.
And
he would have likely been impeached himself if he hadn't recused himself.
But people say that he had nothing to worry about, so he shouldn't have recused himself. And, you know, and Sessions pointed out last night that everything ended up, there was no collusion with Russia, so, mm-hmm. you know, no harm, no foul. It seems like a lot of people still keep or take umbrage with that. Now, I want to point out, too, that what all you'll hear here, and this is just driving facts, this is not opinion. You can understand this as a fact and still oppose Jeff Sessions. But saying that he was not working for the president's platform, first of all, since he has been out of office, he has nothing but positive things to say about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, that platform that Trump ran on, I'll call it Main Street versus Wall Street conservatism, that was pure Jeff Sessions. It was pure Jeff Sessions. The platform that President Trump ran on, and the first person to endorse him was Senator Sessions. So you can disagree with him, but those things are facts.
And just think, I know a lot of people said he didn't. I saw one person say he was going to go down as the worst attorney general in the history of the United States. He was, if you look back, he was starting to really get things done and even got a few things done. Remember the president's travel ban? Jeff Sessions kind of...
on the border.
He led the fight on that. Yeah, work on the border. First Amendment rights at colleges. He worked to get some of those reinstated after we saw so many go away over the last couple of decades.
So, yeah, I think that is, I mean, you can still disagree, but, I mean, there's facts have been thrown around here, you know, or thrown out with the trash on a lot of this. All right, I want to go to John in Robertsdale next. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. So, what are you thinking?
I think Jeff Sessions, I would not vote for him for a dog catcher after what he did to the United States. It's not what he did. It's what he did not do. With all the corruption that's going on that Bill Barr is uncovering now, Jeff Sessions did nothing whatsoever about that. And there's no law that says that an attorney general cannot go after corruption. And that is exactly what he did. He just let it go. And
give me an example how he let corruption go.
Did he ever look in? Did he ever look into the fake dossier? And when it came apparent that these people were taken and it was the CIA and all these people, when this came to light years ago under Sean Hannity, he was teaching all this stuff and had all this information, and he did nothing with it, and you know, he just ignored it. And you just can't ignore corruption. They were trying to perform a coup against a newly elected president.
So you think Jeff Sessions was part of the coup against Donald Trump?
No, sir. I do not say that. I said he did nothing whatsoever. He set this nation back 2 years, because for 2 years until he was ousted, nothing was done in this. You just think how much further along we would be had he taken care of this corruption that was going on.
But you're mixing questions here. People are mad about the recusal, which was what he says. I'll play the clip in a second. His interpretation of what the law said, and you're saying that you're upset because he didn't pursue corruption. Do you know he wasn't pursuing him or on the process of it?
Did you ever hear him? As soon as Barr came in, Barr said, yes, I do see corruption in what's going on. And he said, I'm not getting answers. And the answers leave a lot to be desired. And the more questions you ask, the more problems I'm coming up with. And he saw it right away. Jeff Sessions was there. I was a Jeff Sessions man. I voted for Jeff Sessions every time he ever ran for office. And I said, Jeff Sessions is going to go up there, and he's going to clean house, and he's going to make this right. And I have never been so disappointed in any politician in my life.
There we go. So this is what we're showing. I appreciate the call. A lot of people taking much umbrage with Jeff Sessions as the Attorney General. Here's what Jeff Sessions had to say last night.
He has your strong support. Do you have his strong support?
Well, I hope so. I think he will respect my work. I was there for the Trump agenda every day I was in the Senate. No doubt about it. I was the first Republican, first senator to endorse him.
Yes.
We pushed his immigration agenda, his trade agenda, and began to work to a more realistic foreign policy that doesn't get us in endless wars. I think he was right about all three of those.
Yes.
That's where the American people are, and this Republican Congress and the whole Congress needs to listen to that.
Well, ironically, you were by my count, one of the very few people in the administration who agreed with him on his signature issues. Most didn't and worked to undermine them, as we've seen over 3 years. But you got into it on the question of Russia. You recused yourself from the investigation. He was furious about that. He's never stopped complaining. He was recently complaining about it. Do you regret that decision?
No, I did the thing I had to do under the rules of the Department of Justice. The senior advisors told me that this is what the rules required, the regulations required, and I read them, and I don't think there was any out for me. But I know how painful it was for the president. The whole thing was very painful for him, and he saw this as a pivotal moment, but painful and as prolonged as it was, it did clear him of Russian collusion, and I'm certainly glad that finally happened.
All right, so one of the clips from last night on Fox News Channel with the announcement on Tucker Carlson's show. Coming back, we'll talk a little more about this. Plus, we've got some exciting stuff to talk about with Bellingrath Gardens, our friend Sally Erickson in studio. She's got props and everything. We'll get into that in just a second. Coming right back.
We got the message.
Right, 852 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Got lots of calls. Holden, I want to get y'all to bring us back here on the midday show because we're going to start off at 12:05 with this subject and a whole lot more, some of the voices here. I want to take a quick one from Taxman, and then we're going to talk about what's happened at Bellingrath. Taxman, Sessions announcement, what do you think?
Quick, I saw him last night. He consulted with the White House counselors, and they showed him the law, and he did the right thing. He followed the law, and that's very, very... He had no choice but to do that. So I commend him for that. He did the right thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Taxman. And we'll talk more about that. There's, you've heard some opposition, plenty of people that were holding and texting that are pro Sessions getting into the race. We'll continue this conversation at noon today. I do want to talk to my friend Sally Erickson, who's even brought props into our studio, and I appreciate it. Good to see you back in.
Great to be here, guys.
All right, so this is the time of year that, first of all, it is not the time of year, because y'all start stringing lights at Bellingrath when?
Labor Day weekend.
Oh, wow.
Labor Day weekend. And I love this stat. So how many lights?
3 million.
And then there's always that one bulb that goes out somewhere in the middle. You got to track it down. Let's talk about also a chance to get a little advance here on the lights.
Right. This is our first ever preview night, and it's a fundraiser for the Bellingrath Gardens and Home Foundation. So that's on Sunday, November 24th. And so it's a special night. It's going to be really elegant. We'll have food and drinks, and we're going to have Ryan Balthrop entertaining people. So we're really hoping a lot of people want to buy tickets to this. And the tickets are on sale on bellingrath.org, or you can give us a call. So it's just going to be a really interesting, fun evening, and we're excited about it because we've never done anything like this before.
And you've got to get the lights going even earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. they'll really look good for the preview.
This is good. And then I'm thinking about timing-wise, maybe you have family coming in town or whatever like that that have, you know, not seen it before. What a nice special way to show them the lights.
Right. And if you can't make it to the preview, just be aware the lights always open the day after Thanksgiving. So that's a really good time to start off your holiday season. And then after that, we're open every night from 5 to 9 p.m. And that's kind of just the window where we sell tickets. If we have people standing in line at 8:45, mm-hmm. we're going to keep selling tickets until everybody gets in. And we are not going to turn off the lights at 9 o'clock. I do think that some people were afraid last year that they were going to be trapped in the dark gardens. But no, we leave the lights on until everybody's had time to stroll through and enjoy it. And it takes most people about 45 minutes to an hour to go through the whole thing.
It's beautiful. And what's so great is that it has a reputation even beyond our area. It's you know, it's something that I know being Mobilian, but then all of a sudden you talk to people along the Gulf Coast, they're like, oh yeah, we came through your area. We went to see the lights.
Right. And we are also nominated by USA Today in their national contest to select the nation's best botanical light displays. So everyone can vote every day on 10best.com.
Okay, hold on. Hold on now. You're too fast for me here. So 10best.
10best.com. Okay. And then you just scroll down and find the botanical light contest and vote for Bellingrath. And we're hoping we'll place well in that contest. We did so last year.
Are y'all doing the mums? What's going on with that?
Oh, yeah. The chrysanthemums are out this week.
Oh, what's the official word? Chrysanthemum?
Fall outdoor cascading chrysanthemums, yes.
I can't even say that. So mums, yeah. So how the mums looking?
They look good. They are just starting to open. We're recommending that people wait until next week or the week after to come and see them. We are putting up daily updates on the Mum Watch page on bellingrath.org.
Mum Watch page.
Mum Watch.
There it is. So, okay. If somebody wants to, once again, come out to the special preview for the lights, get those in advance. Right?
Right. We'd appreciate if you'd go ahead and order your tickets now. We want to be able to give a number to the caterer about 10 days out. So that's kind of our rough deadline right now. But we'll still take walk-ups. And we're really hoping a lot of people want to come out and support the Bellingrath Gardens and Home Foundation. It's a really worthy cause. It enables us to put on our special programs all year long. And we've been adding a lot of neat programs in the last couple of years with Angela Strickland at the helm. We've added stargazing nights on the Great Lawn. We've added a couple of musical performances in the Great Lawn, other neat things that we haven't done before, and we know that our guests really enjoy them, so this event will help us do more of those things.
Now, I heard a rumor that Santa might be around.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Okay. We will definitely have special guests such as the Jolly Old Elf, and then, of course, once Magic Christmas and Light starts, we have Santa every night through the 23rd.
Okay, now this, and one of the things I want to get back to what's going on now, but you pointed out y'all have done a great job of events that are outside. I mean, this is high season for the gardens. This is high season. People think about the lights, they know it, but y'all are doing, you know, when it's May, when it's June, you know, when it's March, when it's October, y'all got stuff going on.
Oh yeah, we have programs on Wednesdays in the summer, in June and July. We have programs in January and February, the Winter Wednesday series. We always invite a lot of different guests. We try to have an emphasis on gardening seminars, other interesting programs such as that. We had Ben Raines come last year, and he's coming again in January.
Good.
And he always draws a sellout. And he's also our only guest to arrive by boat.
Of course,
so that makes him special.
Of course, Raines does that. Of course, he does. I hope he's listening. Of course, you do, Ben. Okay, once again, website, best place. Where's the best place to get the tickets?
Best place is on bellingrath.org. You can go under hours and tickets, or you can go under events and go to the Magic Christmas and Lights page. And you can always give us a call if you have any trouble. We will be happy to help with that.
All right. Great deal. And we'll get those tickets. See you out there for the preview and then multiple times during the Magic Christmas and Lights.
Oh, absolutely.
Sally, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're out of here. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. We will pick up the discussion with you at noon today for Midday Mobile. Reminder, too, less than 2 weeks away from the drawing for our Go Play Outside promotion, and less than 2 weeks from FM Talk 106.5 and WKRG presenting the AL1 Republican debate at the J.C. Davis Auditorium in Chickasaw. Details online, and see you in three.